pantomime. They think it's all over. It isn't yet. The theme which we have been looking at the pantomime, particularly the animals and the very feminist side of it. This is the trouble with having a feminine authoress, isn't it? Yes, you see the other side of life, don't you, gents? Anyway, enough of that. I want to continue the theme of Noah, and I want to just start off with a couple of poems, almost in panto style, really. I'll tell you an old-fashioned story that grandfather used to relate of a builder and joining contractor whose name it was Sam Oglethwaite. In his shop on the banks of the Irwell, old Sam used to follow his trade in a place, as you'll heard of, called Berry, you know, where black puddings is made. One day, Sam were filling a knothole with putty when in through the door came an old fellow, fair wreathed in whiskers. "Good morning," said old chap. "I'm Noah." Sam asked Noah what were his business, and the old chap went on to remark that, not liking the look of the weather, he was thinking of building an ark. He'd gotten the wood for the bulwarks and all t'other shipbuilding junk, but he wanted some nice bird's-eye maple to panel the sides of his bunk. Now, maple was Sam's monopoly. That meant it were all his to cut. And as nobody else hadn't got none, he asked Noah 3 halfpence a foot. "Halfpenny too much," replied Noah. "Penny a foot's more the mark. Penny a foot, when rain comes, I'll give thee a ride in me ark." But neither would budge in the bargain, and the old daft thing were all kind of a jam. So Noah stuck his tongue out at Sam stuck his tongue out at Noah, and Noah pulled faces at Sam. In wrath and ill feeling they parted, not knowing when they'd meet again. And Sam had forgot all about it till one day it started to rain. It rained and it rained for a fortnight and covered the old countryside. It rained and it still kept on raining till there were 50 miles wide. The water soon covered the houses, and folks to their roofs had to climb. They said 'twere rottenest summer that Berry had for some time. The rain showed no sign of abating, and water rose hour by hour, till the only dry land were at Blackpool, and that were on top of Tower. So Sam started swimming to Blackpool. It took him best part of a week. His boots was wet through when he got there, and his skin was wet through when he got there, and his boots were beginning to leak. He stood to his watch chain in water on Tower Top just before dark, when who should come sailing towards him but old Noah, steering his ark. They stared at each other in silence till the ark were alongside old Buck. And Noah said, "What price yon maple?" Sam answered, "3 halfpence a foot." Said Noah, "I'll make thee an offer, same as I did t'other day, a penny a foot and a free ride. Now come on, lad, what does thou say?" 3 halfpence a foot," came the answer. So Noah his sail had to hoist, and he sailed off again in a dudgeon, while Sam stood determined, but moist. Noah cruised around flying his pigeons till the 40th day of the wet. And on his way back, passing Blackpool, he spied old Sam standing there yet. His chin just stuck out of the water, a comical figure he cut. And Noah said, "What price yon maple?" Sam answered, 3 halfpence a foot." Said Noah, "You'd best take me offer. It's last time I'll be here about. And if water comes up an inch higher, I'll happen get maple for now." 3 halfpence a foot it'll cost you, and as for me," Sam said, "don't fret. The sky's took a turn since this morning. I think it'll brighten up yet." Yes, well, there's an apocryphal visit. We can all make stories up about Noah. But my very good friend, John Dixon, his name was, he's sadly died. Great lover of football he was, and died on the cup final day playing football with his mates. Had a heart attack, just died. And he wrote this many years ago. I will tell you, I won't tell you how many, you can probably work it out. This is a 21st birthday card to my mate Tim, This was the book. And it's all a lot of his poems and songs, and we used to write and sing together. And one of the poems that he wrote, which is a little bit more true to life than the last one I told you, is called Talking Noah's Ark. It was meant to be sung, but I'm just going to say it. Many years ago, the Lord looked down this old world and gazed around. Didn't like much what he saw, except for one man named Noah. He was a good man. Whoopee for one good man. Well, God said, I ain't taking this, all this sin and wickedness. I'll wipe it out, start again, and bucket down so much rain, they won't know what hit them. Or words to that effect, anyhow. So God told Noah of his little plan, who in turn told Japheth, Shem, and Ham. They said, what then are we to do? Or are we all to perish too? Nope, the Lord said, listen to what I say, and you live to fight another day. You've got to build a great big boat, and when the floods come up, you'll safely float. Well, it sounded like a good idea, so straight away, before it got dark, Noah began building this whacking great ark. He built it of pitch and gopher wood, exactly as God had said he should. He weren't taking any chances. 'Twas then the neighbours came around, as there weren't much doing in the town. They gawped with unbelieving eyes. This boat sure had them mystified. They gathered round, stroked their beards, said, boy, we always knew you was weird. You didn't have to go and prove it. Besides, how'd you think you're going to move it? There's no water around here, you know. You didn't ought to laugh at all, for soon such rains are going to fall to cover the housetops, Noah said. And all you folks will be kind of dead. Why not repent while there's still time, pray to God and toe the line? You know God will forgive your sin if you will just call out to him. How about it, fellas? At this they almost split their sides. They laughed so much they almost died. They chortled, guffawed, smiled, joked, tittered and spluttered and almost choked. Boy, they hadn't laughed so much since they had set old Noah's backside on fire. Still, he who laughs last, laughs longest, as the saying goes. Well, the news had really travelled fast that Noah had flipped his lid at last. What's that, they said? There'll be a flood? Really even rains in this neighbourhood? Still, I guess there's a first time for everything, as the saying goes. They laughed and laughed at poor old Noah till all their lungs and guts were sore, but they laughed until they almost died when he started getting animals of every kind, one of each sex, so when it was dry, they could go forth and multiply. Familiarity breeds, as the saying goes. Hey, Noah, what are you trying to do? You know, we've already got a zoo. Here, Noah, tell us now what gives. I see you're entertaining relatives. Oh, boy, thinks Noah, everybody's a comedian. Well, when all of Noah's work was done and the mob was lazing in the sun, a drop of rain fell from the blue. Come on, says Noah, that's our cue. Let's get aboard. The motley crew still laughed aloud. Is this little drop of rain your flood? Have a pleasant voyage, joked one man. Send us a postcard if you can. Weather's wonderful. Wish you were here. Well, after about a quarter of an hour, it was clear it was more than a little shower. These same poor wretches began to cry. How's about letting us in the dry? You can take a joke, can't you, Noah? Some joke. Still, soft-hearted Noah would have let him in. But you see, there was something stopping him. Because when those massive doors had slammed, somehow or other, they got jammed. Coincidence? I'll leave you to decide. So these followers didn't hang around, but beat it back to their sinful town. Some of them now sort of half suspected there might have been something in what Noah said. Nah, there couldn't be. It'll stop sooner or later. More later than sooner, my friend. Well, it rained till the water covered their knees, and soon it covered the tallest trees. To the highest hills these wretches ran. There was worried now every single man. Too late these folks began to pray that God would forgive their sinful ways. Then the water covered every inch of ground, and one by one, each of them drowned. Glub, glub, gurgle, gurgle. Meanwhile, back in the ark, all was well for the faithful few, Noah and family in the floating zoo. If only they'd listened to what I said, those folks out there would not be dead, said Noah to a hippopotamus who just happened to be passing. A man, he reaps what he has sowed. God is not mocked. They should have known. The Lord's a God of love, it's true, but he's a God of justice too. Well, when the rains had stopped and the floods gone down and Noah had landed on firm ground, God pledged he never would again pour down such teeming torrents of rain. but things go on the same old way as they did way back in old Noah's day. Evil and wickedness are preferred to pleasing God, but he keeps his word. But as in those times of tribulation, God made provision for salvation, God sent his Son to save our sin, and our death sentence was served by him. But folks still laugh, stroke their beards, figure us Christians must be weird. At this same Son of God, they laughed. I reckon it's them who must be daft. When this same Son of God was here, he spoke of all who would lend an ear, of another door, both thin and straight, and that we should strive to go in this gate. For one day, there'll be grief and weeping by all of those who ain't allowed in. So on that day, my friend, make sure that you ain't knocking on that door, left outside in the cold. And there's the story of Noah and the application that what happened in Noah's time is going to happen sometime in the future. And that's just briefly what I'd like to look at for a moment. Father, in the sort of stillness and solemnity of this even hour, as we have enjoyed the fun of the pantomime, as we've enjoyed listening to a familiar story in a way that makes us think and laugh about it, we just ask that as we look at your word, we will start realizing the true application to today, to now, to us, to the people around us. That the sort of things that were going on in Noah's day still happen today. That the sort of people who God wanted to choose to save are still around today, and you still want to save us and fit us and make us the means for salvation. So, Father God, as we look at your word, as we dwell on it, we just ask that something of your Holy Spirit will transform our thinking. Start making us look at it from not our point of view, but from your point of view. That we will start to realize that there's a time when we're going to be judged for what we have done. And that day is drawing ever closer. Father God, please equip us as we look at your word with the truths that we need to go out and do what Noah did, to preach the gospel, to tell people to repent, to make salvation plain, whether they accept it or not. And this is what we ask for you to do to us this evening, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen. First of February, 12th of the year gone already. How are your New Year's resolutions doing, eh? Forgotten on the 2nd of January, perhaps? Well, I'm going to read not two New Year resolutions, but if you like, two New World resolutions, which God made. And I think he did much of what we sometimes do when we make New Year's resolutions. He made one to himself, you know, that nobody ever else hears about, and sort of, if we don't keep it, well, nobody's going to know about it. And one to that other people knew about. You got Genesis handy in your Bibles, and we'll just look at these two covenants, promises, resolutions, whatever you want to call it, that God made. Well, you know the story. I've briefly told it to you in poem form about how the waters covered the earth, everything was destroyed apart from the animals in the ark, and the eight people who were in the ark. Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their three wives, eight in all. And when the rains had stopped and the floods gone down and they'd come out of the ark, Genesis chapter 8, verse 20 says, "Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of the clean animals and the clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. And the Lord, smelling the pleasing aroma, said in his heart, 'Never again will I curse the ground because of man. Even though every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood, and never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. Great hymn, isn't it, John? We love singing it this morning. Thank you for choosing it. I wanted it this evening, but you beat me to it. And the promise to everybody else. Turn over, Genesis chapter 9, verse 8. Then God said to Noah and his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, the wild animals, and those that came out of the ark with you. Every living creature on the earth, I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be cut off by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I'm making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my panto style, my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I'll remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. So God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant I've established between me and all life on the earth. Labour's the point, isn't he? You think we preachers repeat ourselves? Well, God did to Noah at that particular time. He said it time and time. I'm not going to flood the earth again. I am not going to destroy all living creatures with waters. Okay, this time last year, locally, the Somerset Levels were flooded and bad flood. It's nice to see this year with the dredging going on and with some of the preventative goings on in the Somerset Levels that it's just back to normal. Yes, the levels flood. They're meant to do it. That's what happens. But not like it was this time last year. So yes, locally there are floods. Even God's promise that he made while the earth remains, summer and winter, seed time and harvest will never cease. While that is God's promise to the earth in general, he'll never allow it to completely either wet up with a flood or dry up with a drought so it can't produce. There will always be seed time and harvest. And yet, in his dealings with mankind, sometimes he says, I'm going to prevent the clouds from falling rain. I'm going to prevent the harvest. They're going to be lean years. They're going to be times when it's going to stop. I want you to realize that I'm in control. I'm in charge. And that if you want to know my favor, you have to worship me and love me with all your heart and with all your soul. And so to his people, his chosen people, the children of Israel, and in recent times to other parts of the world, he has shown his magnificence and splendor and his creative ability by withholding things. Sometimes it's to punish, sometimes it's to warn. And yes, we remember, and we remembered in the pantomime how the animals were saved. But what we so frequently forget is why God did it in the first place. And it's not the sort of thing that you make pantomimes of, because it's very sobering. It's very upsetting. it's something which God was so cut up about. And it's, I mean, the Bible uses words like this. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth, and every inclination of his thought and his heart was evil all the time. And the Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. Now that isn't panto stuff. So we sometimes forget this kind of thing. It's not really the stuff of poetry either, is it? Or songs. And the problem was that sin had come into the earth, and as man had multiplied, sin had multiplied until the whole earth was rotten because of man's influence on it. Sound familiar at all? I mean, we live in a global village these days. I can go and visit Kelly in Australia, my daughter Kelly in Australia, in a matter of a day, just to get pop round to the other side of the world. We know what's going on all the way around. And we know, just from the news that's broadcast by satellite, from all the corners of the earth, the evil that's going on. The wars in and battles and troubled times in particularly Central Africa, Central America, and this sort of thing. The appalling regimes of things in of places in Southeast Asia. The difficulties of many of the Latino countries in South America. There is so much evil going on. And even on our own doorstep, it's going on. And the population now is hugely greater than it was in Noah's time. I think it was Dr. Billy Graham who said, if God doesn't do something to America soon, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. They were punished because of one particular sin. And the inclination of man's heart today is that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart were evil all the time. And, you know, it pretty well sums up, because that evil percolates into our home over the internet. It gets onto our television screens and comes into our living rooms and bedrooms where we can see it. And that spread of evil is something which grieves God's heart. And no doubt he is itching to do something about it. He did do something about it. He sent his only son to come here to make a way of salvation for the forgiveness of sins and to cleanse those evil thoughts and do something about the wickedness. But people choose not to go after God. And when I say people choose, I don't mean them out there. I also mean us in here. I'm glad you don't know some of the inclinations of my heart, because you probably wouldn't have me standing up here speaking if you did. And the trouble is that I lead a double life. There's the religious side of me, but then there's sometimes there's the awful thought side of me, which needs cleansing. And there's going to come a time, just as in the days of Noah, when God said, I can't stand it any longer. I know we're colloquializing, we're popularizing, we're putting words into his mouth, but that's the net result. This can't go on any longer. I'm going to destroy everything I have made and start again. And Noah, you've found grace in my eyes. You've tried to live an upright, righteous life. And Jesus used this expression. When he was talking about the end times, he said, as in the days of Noah, they were marrying and giving in marrying and doing all sorts of evil, so in the end times, they'll be giving and marriage, and they won't know what hit them. Just like the first raindrops fell on the people in Noah's time. So there's going to be a trumpet call and a sound, and the Lord will be returning, and he will not be destroying the earth with a flood this time, but with fire. And Peter particularly takes up this theme in his letters to the early church. He says that if God did not spare angels when they sinned but sent them to hell, if he did not spare the ancient world but brought about the flood for its ungodly people but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and the others, and if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, I mentioned those as well, haven't I, this evening, by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly. And if he rescued Lot, a righteous man, etc., etc. If this is so, then the Lord knows exactly how to rescue godly men from trials and to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment. And he goes on to say how they will be paid back, because he says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. And this was an illustration that Jesus used. If you knew when the thief was coming, you'd be ready. But he's going to come like a thief in the night. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. And do you go back and remember that promise that that God made to himself? For while the earth remains... Do you get the implication now, looking backwards to God's promise to himself? While this earth remains, summer and winter, seed time and harvest, day and night will not cease. But one day, I'm going to completely ruin it, completely destroy it, and I'll create a new heaven and a new earth. And we don't know exactly what that's going to be like. We get some sort of indications from it. Anyway, I'm not going to go on to there this evening. What I wanted just to do was to look back to that time of Noah, when, yes, there was a plan of salvation, but the whole reason for the plan of salvation was the evil and wickedness which was going on. The evil and wickedness which is still going on today, not only in the world, but also in the church, in people like me. And I'm going to one day have to stand before my Creator, my Maker, my Judge, and my Saviour, and give an account. And he's going to be looking into the heart, into the secret thoughts, into the things that I don't want him to know anything about, in the same way as I don't want you to know anything about them. And I will be judged, and there'll be some sheep and some goats. There'll be a left hand and there'll be a right hand. There'll be some which are judged for salvation and others which will be judged for condemnation. And yes, we can be saved through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we want to be on that side. But we must also live that godly, respectable and upright life which God has planned out for us. It's no good just saying words like, God hates the sin but loves the sinner and it's all going to be all right. God hates the sin so much that he destroyed the world once and he's going to do it again. We don't like believing in a heaven and a hell because it goes against the grain of a holy God, a loving, merciful God. Why would he condemn anybody to hell? Only because they will not choose the way of righteousness. And you and I have a choice over my thoughts and my deeds and my actions. So, yes, okay, it's been fun having the panto. It's nice to know that there is salvation in Christ, in God, that people can be redeemed from destruction. And it's nice to know that we have a Saviour who can atone for us and make it possible that we have a way of escape from condemnation. But now we know that, there is a obligation in ourselves to live that righteous life. Do you remember the message we had this morning about the seed being sown, being broadcast? We had pictures of Tractor Ted and tractor tires this morning in church, and seeds and sowing machines. Wasn't that awful, sowing machines? Spelling, girl, spelling. Anyway, the broadcast of the seeds, and the same seed went out onto the ground, and some was fertile, and some was rocky, and some had birds which came down, and some had people which trampled it. Which particularly category has that seed fallen on in our lives? What sort of soil and receptive? I'm mixing my metaphors now, aren't I? But you know where I'm coming from with the pantomime, the evil thoughts, and even in that parable of the sower, Jesus talked about the evil thoughts which sprung up and choked the seeds, the good seed. Is that seed going to wither and die? Or am I going to go away from here with a desire, an obligation, a commitment, a resolution to actually do the right thing? I'm probably going to fail, but I've got to make that resolution in the first place. I'm so glad that God keeps his promises. I'm so glad that we still have summer and winter, seed time and harvest, day and night. I'm so glad that God has never flooded the earth again. But I'm also so glad that he sent his only begotten Son, and he promised that whoever believes in him won't perish, but have eternal life. There is a way out from my evilness within. The thoughts which I know I shouldn't think, the things which I know I shouldn't do or go there, and somehow do. And I need to be going out from here in the power of his Spirit, knowing that he actually does protect me because I want him to protect me. So although he can do it, we have got to want him to do it. Father, we've finished a fun weekend on a sober, somber note. And yet, we need to be sober and somber because a day is coming when we're not going to be able to rely on pantos, on other people, on circumstances, on our upbringing, our education, our thoughts, ourselves, our own self-esteem or self-importance. We're just going to be between you and us. In the nakedness of your eternal light, exposing all the deeds of evil which we have done. And when that happens, Father, we want to be found, clothed not in the nakedness of our sinfulness, but in the robes of righteousness of our Saviour's sinlessness. And so we go out of here this evening with a resolution and a desire to make our covenant with you that we will change our way and do what you want us to do. So, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for your plan of salvation. We just want to take it on board in Jesus' peerless, precious, wonderful name. Lord, Saviour, Jesus Christ.